studying on Wednesday nights. Last Wednesday we had a missionary. The Wednesday before that we were in a tent meeting. So it's been a few weeks since we left our study in 2 Peter chapter 1. So let me remind you, we're down in verse number 5, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, where Peter said this, and beside this, giving all diligence, add, all right, go back to school, add to your faith virtue. And we've talked already about virtue. We need to add to our faith. The ground foundation is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you don't have faith, you don't have anything. You can know about the Bible. You can know about Jesus. You can know the stories of Noah and the flood and Jonah and the whale. You can know all that. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's not a matter of a head knowledge, it's a matter of a heart knowledge. And then once we have that faith, the Bible says we're to add to that faith. Faith is not the end of the story. It's not, I believe, now leave me alone. We add to our faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, verse 6. And to temperance, patience. We are continually adding other qualities to our faith. And to patience, godliness. Verse 7, and to godliness, and here we are tonight, brotherly kindness. We've talked about the other five qualities that we're to add to faith: virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. And tonight we come to the sixth quality that we are to add to our faith, and that is brotherly kindness. Though the phrase brotherly kindness appears only here in 2 Peter 1:7, this is the only time this phrase, brotherly kindness, is mentioned in all the Bible. That's going to make it a very special expression, because Peter used it here. He said that we are to add to our faith brotherly kindness. It is synonymous with brotherly love. All right, kindness is a kindness and a tenderness that precedes love, but they're almost synonymous, brotherly kindness and brotherly love. The term brotherly love appears three times. You've got the references, Romans 12:10, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, and Hebrews 13:1. I encourage you to take that sheet home and later tonight look up those verses and see what the Bible says about brotherly affection, brotherly love, brotherly kindness. It simply means this. The definition of brotherly kindness would be fraternal affection. What does fraternal mean? It means within the family. Affection within the family. Kindness or love of the brethren. Love of the brethren. So the Bible tells us that there is a love that should be shown as far as brotherly kindness or brotherly love is expressed. Let's look at these things tonight. First of all, number one, to whom, W-H-O-M, not to who, to whom should brotherly kindness be shown? All right, we're to add to our faith brotherly kindness. Who is it that we show this kindness to? Well, it's kind of obvious. We show it to our brothers and our sisters in Christ. When a person gets saved, when a person gets saved, they get adopted into, according to the Word of God, they get adopted into the family of God. So a lot of folks are very confused in our day. They think, well, if I grew up in a Christian family, I'm a Christian. If I had Christian parents, then I'm a Christian. That doesn't pass on from one generation to the next. It takes an individual commitment to Christ to become a believer. And when you make that individual commitment to Christ to become a believer, then you become a part of the family of God. And once that happens, we're part of a new family. Sometimes folks get saved. I got saved as a teenager, a late teenager, 18. Some folks get saved in their 20s or 30s. Some folks come to faith in Christ later in life, 40, 50, 60, 70. I remember a couple of an elderly couple out in Hendrysburg. Brother Jeff, I don't know if you remember the Stevens. And both of them got saved. They were well into their 70s when they trusted Christ. And though they were in their 70s, they entered the second time into their mother's womb and were born. What, you remember what the Lord said to Nicodemus? You must be born again. And he didn't understand it. They were in their 70s, but they were born again. They were newborn babes in Christ. And when we get saved, when we become born again and part of the family of God, now we have new brothers and sisters. And what a blessing that is to be a part of that family. Notice the verse we've got, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men. Now as a believer, you should be a good Samaritan. You should do good to all men. You see somebody in need, help them out. Somebody by the roadside with a flat tire and obviously needs assistance or help. I know in these days we always have to be so careful. But when you see someone that looks like a safe situation that needs help, we're to show that kindness. But it said, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It's good to do good deeds for those out there. But it's important to do them in here. It's important to take care of one another. And so we are members, the Bible says, of the household of faith. Three times in 1 John, the words are repeated, love one another. That's what brotherly kindness is all about, loving one another. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. An elder is an older man. But entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren or brothers. The elder woman as mothers, and the younger as sisters. I like the song. It's probably 50 years old. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. It says, you will notice we say brothers and sister. We say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family, and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear and rejoice in each victory with this family so dear. All right, that's exactly what we are. We are a family in Christ. And so the Bible tells us whom we should show this kindness to is one another, those of the household of faith. It's not that we don't love the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But He has a special love for His children. And that's you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ. That terminology is being lost, I think, in many churches. It's almost unusual to hear somebody call somebody brother or sister. But that is the scriptural terminology for it. And the Bible even said there, entreat him as the younger men as brethren and the younger women as sisters. I wouldn't recommend calling the older ladies mother. That might not go over too well, but sister will do, all right? We're one in a family. To whom should brotherly kindness be shown? To one another, members of the family of Christ. This might shock you. Family members don't always agree on everything. Now, did that shock anybody in here? Family members don't always agree. Family members sometimes don't always act properly toward one another. But isn't it true they're still our family members? No matter what they do. I guess the greatest example is that of Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery. Deceived their dad by taking his coat of many colors and dipping it in goat's blood and making dad think that some wild beast had killed his son, and they sold him into slavery. And yet years later, when Joseph rose to the second highest in Egypt and his brethren came to him, he did nothing but show mercy to them. All right, that's brotherly kindness. Yes, we get mistreated sometimes in this life, and things are not always fair, but we're still to show brotherly kindness. To whom do we show it? To one another, members of the household of faith. All right, number two, how? How should brotherly kindness be shown? You know what? I'm thankful that this book right here tells you everything you need to know. It is your manual for living. And there are two problems. Number one, people don't know what the manual says. Then number two, they don't obey the manual. And either one of those gets people in trouble all the time. You know, when you turn on the news at night and you see this person robbed that person, murdered this person, assaulted that person, you know what they did? They violated the manual for living. And when you do that, bad things happen. So God has given us everything we need to live our lives, but some folks just ignore it, deny it, or plain out go against it. But I'm thankful that as a believer, as a child of God, that God has given me as a son, He's given me a manual for how to live my life, so I'm not on my own to figure it out. He's given me direction in it. And He's told me, as far as that, He's told me how to show brotherly kindness. In case I don't know, in case I can't figure it out, I don't have to wait for experience to be my teacher. God has shown me how to do that. He shows it by letter A, love demonstrated. Love demonstrated. The Father, God the Father, is a perfect example of love. This isn't on our paper, but in John chapter 15 and verse 9, you might want to jot that down. John chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Jesus Christ used the Father's example of love as His pattern. Now, if God the Father, if Jesus would use God the Father as an example, how much more should we use Him as an example also? So love is demonstrated by God the Father. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." If God loves you, and I don't love you, then God and I are on opposite poles. Talking about the household of faith. Now, I can say this, God doesn't always agree with you, and so I might not always agree with you, or you with me. But we still love one another. I have a brother and two sisters in the flesh. I love all three of them. Some of them are just wacky as a $3 bill. Some of them do things that I just stand back and say, "What in the world are you doing?" But it doesn't affect my brotherly affection. It doesn't affect my love toward them. We're still brothers and sisters. And the same thing is true of the family of God. Sometimes we look at each other like, "What in the world were you thinking? What did you think was going to happen when you did that?" But we still love one another. And that love is demonstrated by God the Father, who doesn't agree or even approve of everything we do. And yet He still loves us. So that's the love demonstrated. Letter B. Love without dissimulation. Now that's a big word, and it's right in the verse below that, so you can see how to spell it, all right? Love without dissimulation. And I didn't write down the reference for the verse. Let love be without dissimulation. Anybody know where that is? I believe it's in Hebrews. Somebody that's got a concordance in the back of their Bible very quickly. I didn't write down the reference. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. All right, let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation means feigning or false or fake. Have you ever met somebody that faked their affection? That said, "Oh, I love you," but their actions contradicted that? Or the minute they said it, the look in their eye was different from the words that were coming out of their mouth? All right, that's what he's talking about here. Let your love be without any faking, without any feigning, without false pretension, without hypocrisy. Let it be a good one. Jay? Romans 12:9. Okay, thank you. I told you it was in Hebrews. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, under letter B, if you want to write down that verse. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Having a real, true, pure love. Again, we live in a world and a society where love has been watered down. A teenager will say of another teenager, "Oh, I love him. Oh, I love her." We used to call that puppy love. And we as older adults understood that that was just like loving a puppy. That's how deep that love went. But I'm afraid in these days of just having to have a mate, having to have someone else, that we've redefined love, or love's just not even in the picture anymore. It's more convenience than it is love. And the writer Paul said in Romans, he said, let your love be pure, let it be right, let it be without hypocrisy, let it not be put on or fake, let it be lasting. How many of you know, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you know that marriage takes work? It takes work. It's two lives becoming one. That's not an easy process. There's got to be a lot of give and take on both ends. And to work that long term is an evidence of love. And so Paul is talking about that kind of love. Look at 1 Peter, if you would. If you're still there in 2 Peter 2, where we started. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse number 22. Talking about this pure love, an unfeigned love, without dissimulation. Verse 22 of 1 Peter 1. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. There's what it is, without dissimulation. Unfeigned, not fake, not false. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. All right, there's no room in that verse for faking it. There's no verse for just putting a smile on your face and gushy words out of your mouth and a weak handshake and saying, "I love you." There's got to be truth to it. There's got to be power behind it. Without feigning it. Let your love be without dissimulation. Letter C. Love demonstrated. Letter A, love without dissimulation. Letter C, love in deed. D-E-E-D. Deed. Love indeed. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What is deed? Deed is actions. In deed and in truth. Married couple, the lady says, "You never say I love you. Well, I told you once. Said it back when we got married, so that should have been good enough. Words just aren't enough. There needs to be some action. There needs to be some deeds. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's show some actions that show love. You know, the brethren appreciate that. The brethren like that. Not just when you say something, but when you do something, when you go out of your way for someone. I don't do it often enough, but there's sometimes on my way home, and I think of it more than I do it, I stop and I get my wife some flowers. And I'm saying this right now, I think of it much more than I do it. I want her to know that. And I don't do it enough, but those actions, when you go out of your way, and it means more to her than it does to me. When the fact that driving home, I went out of my way and stopped somewhere, she knows for me that's a big deal. to stop somewhere on my way home and make a trip inside of a store that I wouldn't normally go to and buy, and I bring them home to her. That deed shows more than a lot of words do. And that's true within the family of faith. When we do things for one another, that's an indication of our love. We love indeed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, you can turn there if you want to. If not, write the verse down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. A couple of verses that don't really fit in any of these three categories, but I think it's good for us to see. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12, it says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." Who's he writing to? The church at Thessalonica. All right, the church body in the city of Thessalonica, he's saying to them, "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Increase and abound. Increase and abound. This is a family. That's why it's so disappointing as a church when someone decides to leave the family. You know, over the years, we've had a lot of folks that have moved. Moved to California, moved to Arizona. I mean, that's moving. Moved to Oklahoma. Moved to Florida. All right, that's understandable, but a lot of folks just leave. They just disappear. They just stop coming to church. And for you and I that are grounded and more mature in our faith, it's disappointing because we realize they're missing out on the family spirit. They're missing out on the family affair. Remember that old TV show with Buffy and Jody? All right? They're missing out on that friendliness that comes with being part of the family of God. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul said, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Our love is to be a growing love, an increasing love. Number three in our paper tonight, why? Why should brotherly kindness be shown? And the answer would be simply this, because it's commanded. Why should brotherly kindness be shown? It's an act of obedience. "A new commandment, Jesus said, I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." That's repeated in John 15, 12, John 15, 17, and 2 John verse 5. You see the references there. That's how many times the Lord repeated the phrase that we are to love one another. Somebody says, "Well, if you knew about him or her what I know, you wouldn't love them either." Mark Twain said, "The more I learn about people, the more I love my dog." And there's some truth in that, isn't there? But we are to increase more and more. We are to abound in our love. And our love many times will require us to overlook things. To not make a big deal out of things that are not a big deal. We live in a very bitter world. People are hurting. And some of the hurt is real. But some of the hurt is drama. And it's almost like folks think if someone hasn't hurt me, something must be wrong. So they've got all the stories. They can tell all the tales. You know what Mama used to say? If you can't say anything good about someone, you know the rest of it. Don't say anything at all. The world doesn't practice that today. No, all you got to do is pick up the newspaper. And the headlines are picking at anybody and everybody, finding fault with everybody. And it's not that there isn't fault to be found, obviously. The world we live in is like that. But we are to show kindness even when we don't agree. Kindness even when someone's doing something differently than the way we would do it. Because the Lord commanded us to do so. Number four, what does brotherly kindness prove? All right, we're commanded to love one another. We have the example of the Father that shows us how to love one another. We've been told how to do it. What does it prove? Well, letter A, it is proof of salvation. It is proof of salvation. How we feel about one another is an evidence of our being born again. Before I got saved, I was not interested in church, not interested in God, not interested in getting up early on a Sunday morning. But then I got saved, I was born again, and something changed inside of me. I wanted to be around the people that were at church on Sunday. I had to work with everybody else Monday through Friday and Saturday, and I couldn't wait for Sunday to get around the family of God, to get around those that were brothers and sisters, especially as a newborn babe in Christ. That was exciting, to get around the family of God. I don't understand Christians that don't hunger for the family of God. Especially, I used to always say it, Wednesday has always been my favorite church service. Because working out in the world Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if you go from Sunday to Sunday without a fix on Wednesday night, without a spiritual fix on Wednesday night, you're around lost sinners on Monday, foul language, dirty jokes. Everything's dirty. In the world today, you can say anything and they make it dirty. And you live around that Monday and Tuesday, if you turn the TV on, God bless you, you see all the junk and the filth. And then we go Thursday and Friday at work. Wednesday night was when I needed to get in church and be around the family of God. And I know this, I know that folks that claim to be Christian that don't need that, that don't, I know the way they're living. They can't be living right by not getting around the people of God in the middle of the week, by going Sunday to Sunday without the fellowship of God's people. You know, people say, well, you know, in the Bible, they didn't meet on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Oh, you want the Bible, do you? You're right. In the New Testament, they did not meet on Sunday and Wednesday. They met on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. See, the modern day lukewarm Christian wants to say, well, in the Bible, you don't have to go Sunday and Wednesday. No, in the Bible, you had to go 7 days a week. So if we want to get to the Bible, let's not cut out Wednesday. Let's add Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. See how that goes. You know why? Because they were newly saved in a world, in a Roman world, in a Roman colony, in a Roman society that was pagan and ungodly and worshipped Caesar and burned incense and offered meat to idols, and now they were gloriously saved and born again. They couldn't wait to get away from all that and meet in the upper room of some house and have a church service. They couldn't wait to meet at Onesiphorus' house. They couldn't wait to meet at Epaphras. They would meet anywhere they could. They wanted to be around those believers. What does brotherly kindness prove? It is a proof of salvation. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. All right, loving the brethren is an evidence of salvation. Loving the fellowship of the saints is a sign that we're truly saved. We're not saved by loving the brethren, but it's an outward sign that we are saved. You can just see it in the faces of people. You can see it in their expressions, in their attitudes, when they love the fellowship of the saints. Not only is it a proof of salvation, but letter B, it is a proof of sincerity. We already saw without dissimulation, not feigned, not fake, not hypocritical, not false. Brotherly kindness, our expressions of it, show the sincerity of our love. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. It's raining, so now we need to stay another 20 minutes. All right, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. You know the Bible calls somebody a liar? A lot of times people get offended by words like that. Well, the Bible said, if a man says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? When someone has bitterness and hatred for a fellow believer in their heart, it's a proof that their love is not sincere. How can they say they love God whom they have not seen if they can't love the person that they do see? So the Bible tells us that we need to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. You might not have noticed this, but when Aaron